thank you for coming tonight. It's going to be a very important study, I think, one that we've not done before. And by way of introduction to it, you'll turn in your hymnals to 327, and you can remain seated. And James is going to lead us in just the first two verses. The whole hymn is super, but we'll just sing the first two verses, More About Jesus. 327. Yes, Heavenly Father, we want to learn more about our Lord. Every day, increase our knowledge, therefore increasing our intimacy with Him, understanding Him, knowing Him, and then pleasing Him. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes tonight to the truth about Jesus Christ. Precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, where are we in our study? We're studying spiritual love. So where are we? Well, look at John 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 15. 21:15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said, agape, agapao. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know I phileo you. Jesus Christ said, tend my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agapao me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you agapao me? Peter was grieved, because he said to him this third time, do you agapao me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Okay, here's the question. Does Jesus Christ want us to love him? Does he want us to? That's a great question. And you'll bear with me a minute. I'm a shepherd here to teach. Be sure people get it. And last week, Laura asked me, where are we in this? Because she thought I was supposed to be at Acts. And here we've been the last month on spiritual love. So where are we? So where we are is in John 21. where the Lord asked Peter, do you agapao me? Peter said, I phileo you. And he asked him three times, same response three times. So the question is, does Jesus Christ care about our love for him? Does he want you to love him? Let's begin by looking at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. I hope you learned some things about Jesus Christ tonight and your own relationship with him. But Mark chapter 12, and let's begin reading at verse 28. And one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, answered. Ask him, what commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is, and we dealt with this Sunday morning at the 9:15 class, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And we were dealing with the whole concept of unity in diversity. Now look at verse 30 though. And you shall love, agapao, the Lord your God. So we are to love him with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. So does he want you to love him? Absolutely. Now this goes all the way back to Moses in dealing with just the Messiah. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. And what we're going to do here is begin reading in verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, and we're going to read 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Now you'll recall from our study on Sunday morning, it is Shema Israel, the Adonai is our Elohim, the Adonai is a Chava one. Now look at verse 5. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. So what are we talking about? It ought to be on our heart every day that we love the Lord. If you're married and you're happy, you tell them often, daily, I love you. What about the Lord? What about your relationship with him? Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way in business and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates to love him. That's what we're to do. And people, he cares about that, about our loving him. You have to know him in order to love him. Look at Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13:3. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, the reason I love this one, note what is saying here, is tested. People, your love is tested. And the Lord is going to test your love for him. Sometimes daily, sometimes in a very dramatic way. He's going to test you. Do you love me? You say you do. Do you really love me? Look back at Deuteronomy 10. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? Okay, what does the Lord require? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and love him. Fear him, walk in his ways, which means you have to know them, and love him. And to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Look at Daniel chapter 9, the great prayer warrior. The great prayer warrior, the great prayer chapter. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel going into prayer. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness to those who love him and keep his commandment. Now here is a reward response for loving the Lord. People, you love your husband, you love your wife, they're going to respond to that love. Well, let me tell you something. We're going to find out the Lord responds if you love him. Not if you learn a lot of doctrine. Not if you sing a lot of songs. Not if you give money. Do you love him? He responds to that love. Look at 1 John. All the way to Revelation and then go back to 1 John. Chapter 4. Now here we're going to take our time. 1 John chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 13. Great love section of the Bible. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. So here's a ministry of the Holy Spirit when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us his Spirit. Now, verse 14. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So far, it's a pretty sound doctrine. Now we move to verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Okay, now verse 16 in this context. And we have come to know, and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. This is agape. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So if you want the Lord abiding in you, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, have him pour that love in you, because that sets up the environment Christ wants to be. Christ doesn't want to be inside of us when we're in the energy of the flesh. Whether in the energy of the flesh, we're showing our temper, our jealousy, or whether we're showing how wonderful we are. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be there. But when you have that love for him, he wants to be there. Now look at verse 17. By this, love is perfected. This is agape. Is perfected with us, completed. That we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Whoa! Your loving Christ is going to be important at the judgment seat of Christ. That's going to determine the good and the bad. Because, we're reading verse 17, by this love is perfected or completed with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we in this world. Now we come to verse 18. Verse 18. There is no fear in agape, love. Perfect agape, love, cast out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not completed in love. You love the Lord, you know He loves you, there's no fear. No fear of what? If I die, I'll be face to face with Him. If this doesn't go the way I'd like it to, it's going to work out to His glory. But it depends on that love toward Him. So three times in verse 18, agape. Now we come to verse 19. We love, we agape, because He first loved us. Verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. You hear that? He's a liar. You cannot hate another believer and claim you love him. It isn't going to work. This is a powerful verse. This is a verse that is kind of frightening to all of us. You can't hate some believer and say you love God. They're two different. No, they're not. That's where you missed the point. They're one. You cannot hate a believer and say you love God. So this verse is very powerful in this respect. Now, if someone says, verse 20, if someone says, I love God, hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. That's the new commandment of John 14. So, this is a powerful passage in dealing with understanding his love and his desire for us to love him. Another one that I love, because a lot of people will quote the first part of this next passage, but they leave out an important phrase. Look at Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. People often say, all things work together for good. No. It's not what it says. You didn't finish it. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who love Him. In the midst of tribulation, turmoil, you love Him. Here's a benefit of loving Him. He will cause it to turn to good. Now, we're not here to study this passage. Let's spend some time on good. Just like at the judgment seat of Christ, good and bad. Good doesn't mean the way you plan it. Good doesn't mean the way you want it to turn out. Good means according to His plan. What will glorify Him? What will suit His purpose in your life and His purpose of your life? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who call according to His purpose. That word love, agapao. Okay. And to straighten it out, that we're on the right track in dealing with this love is not human love, not love of the flesh, from the flesh, but God's love. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, so it comes out from the Spirit into us, is love, agape. Now, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But what I'm concentrating on is the love that God is looking for. God is not just looking for a motherly love, for a real sincere love from our flesh. No, He's looking for love. It's given to you by the Holy Spirit. When you trust the Holy Spirit pours into your soul this love for Him. Yes, love for others. But His love for Him is the point we're looking at tonight. His love for Him. So this love is a love that pleases God. Now, I like to ask the question, is your faith the faith God is looking for? Is your righteousness the righteousness God is looking for? Is your love the love God is looking for? It's a fair question that each of us have to ask ourselves. I love the Lord. Do you know how to love the Lord? Do you know how to do it in the Spirit? See? That's the love He's looking for. I'm sorry. He's not impressed with anything from the energy of the flesh. He's not pleased with righteousness. Our righteousness are His filthy garments before Him. Our faith is of no merit if it's not faith in Him. And people, our love is not of any merit if it's not the love that is given to us from the Holy Spirit. Now that the Lord and God the Father desire our love has always been the way at all times. Look at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Verse 20. I'm showing you some passages what you can expect when you love the Lord. The Lord keeps all those who love Him. Does that ring to you? The Lord keeps all those who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. Now, we're not here to study this passage, but let's note a few things in passing. First, the word love in the Hebrew is ahav. This word is used to describe God's love of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Deuteronomy 4:37. In 1 Kings 10:19, God declares that He loves all Israel. In Hosea 3:1, He loves Israel, even though Israel fornicates with idolatrous gods against Him. But He still loves them. So, this is the love He's looking for. Secondly, in this verse, note what love toward God is contrasted with. Wicked. This Hebrew adjective is rich in meaning. It is used 264 times in the Old Testament. And it basically refers to those guilty against God. And is the opposite of the Hebrew word meaning righteousness. Those who love the Lord will be righteous also in the power of the Spirit, while those who do not love the Lord will be unrighteous. It's very simple. This isn't very difficult theology here. And then thirdly, note what God does in regard to those who love them. He keeps them, guards them, protects them throughout their life. This is what He does. So if you want the Lord to protect you daily, keep you in His plan, protect you, guard you, love Him. Don't have to do a lot of things for Him. Love Him. That's what He requires, that we love Him. This is stated in Psalm 31. Let's look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31, let me turn there with you, please. Psalm 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all you, His godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Now, I want you to know carefully in this one psalm, for Psalm 31, I want you to know carefully. This psalm is written by David, and he considers himself godly, but is repenting and coming out of sin. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before thine eyes. He's just come out of sin. Nevertheless, thou didst hear the voice of my supplications when I cried to thee. So he comes to the Lord. And then he comes out and he says, oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud one. That's what he's coming out of. And then I want you to note the three things that it says here. It says, be strong. Let your heart take courage and your hope in the Lord. People, that's how we ought to live each day of our life. Those three verbs, those three words. Now, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. This is a great psalm when you're in tribulation. You're long fighting. I personally have been moved to what I call knee prayers several times and just read over this psalm along with a few others. But I would read it, pray and read as I went through it. I cannot help tonight, but let's read all of Psalm 91 and pay attention to what you're reading. Mark it. It may become valuable to you one day. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and upon his wings, and under his wings, you may seek refuge. Now, I'll just share something with you. And I was wrong, but I've often thought those kind of verses, under his wings, under his feathers, that's so carny. That's a wimp. But what I needed is, this psalm took a whole different meaning, a whole different understanding. And when you're in this circumstance, and he takes you under his arm when you're in tribulation, it's an unbelievable feeling. So let's read verse 4. He will cover you, protecting you from all the attacks with his pinions, and under his wings you seek refuge from the world. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, that's what we will do, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. A long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my deliverance. So we have one of the great areas of our faithfulness to him and how God is going to protect. Now, love toward Jesus Christ from the filling of the Spirit results in glorifying Christ. This is another reason he's concerned about whether or not we love him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We will read 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Now, we all probably know somebody. You look at their life and you're just going, boy, they just don't know what the battle's about. But you know what? They're faithful, taking in the Word of God, going to the local church. They're faithful. But, man, it seems like every time I turn around, I'm hit by a truck. Every time something happens to me, happens in my home, happens at work, happens here, happens there. This is a powerful verse. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, according to the plan of God, this gets back to Romans 8:28, you have been distressed by various trials. Now why? That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Now look at verse 9. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. We've not seen him, but you can love him. In the power of the Spirit, the more you grow in the Word, the knowledge of Christ, as Peter says, and the knowledge of him, the more reality he becomes, and the more you're able to love. The more you learn about someone, the more you love them. Some people are so afraid to reveal themselves, even to their husband and wife. Well, if they saw me this way, they knew this about, they wouldn't love me. Don't hide that from somebody who loves you. It's one thing about a mother. You can't hide it. You can't hide it from a mother. Doggone it, she knows. And she still loves. She knows how bad you really are. And yet she still loves you. She beat you, but she loves you. See, that's God. He knows you, and yet he still loves you. Intimacy with Jesus Christ starts with love toward Christ. Look at John 14. John 14. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, Second result, we will come to Him and make our abode with Him. It isn't because you learn a lot of doctrine, people. The doctrine you learn causes more intimacy with Christ. You don't want to be like the Jews who search the Scripture thinking that in just knowing Scripture is going to be the secret. No. It's what that does. The more you learn about Him, the more it causes you to love Him. And the more it causes Him to love Him, His Father comes and abides. He comes and abides. The Holy Spirit's already there. You're a temple. Come God the Father, Jesus Christ, because you love Christ. And they will love you. This is a powerful verse. Let's read it one more time. Verse 23 of John 14. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone, you and me, anyone, loves me, he will keep my word. Now what's his word? Faith and love. That's his commandment. Keep on trusting and loving one another. Keep my word. And my Father will love him. If you love me, my Father will love you. See? And we, my Father and I, will come to you and make our abode with you. People, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. Sometimes I think we forget. Now, I haven't been married that long, so I don't forget too easily, but just think about the first days when you were married. She came and abode with you. That's just remarkable. Yesterday she wasn't there. Today she's there with you, abiding with you. Now let's take that to Christ. He comes and abides with you if you love him. No real woman wants to be with a man that doesn't really love her. The Lord's no different. You don't love him, he's not going to. Why would he want to be with you if you don't love him? But if you love him, he will come to you. And his Father will come to you because of their relationship. Now, loving Jesus Christ, we've already seen hints of how it received rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. But let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If you found Peter, you can find James just before Peter. James chapter 1. Verse 12. James 1, 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Not to those who do great and mighty things, to those who love him. You will receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ just for loving him. And people, like Paul says, it is so easy to love him. Once I considered all that he did for me, I'm controlled by that love. How can I not respond to that kind of love? How can I not respond to a love that came when I was his enemy and died on a cross? I love to hear Beverly Shea saying he loved me and he loves you. That's just amazing when you think about it. You think about it. That Jesus Christ, God, loves you. And he'll come and make his abode with you. And if you love him, he'll give you rewards. Give you rewards. Look at James 2:12 or 2:5. James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen. Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? People, there are going to be a lot of people in the kingdom. They're going to be heirs. They'll enter the kingdom. They'll inherit it. Those are two different theological concepts. If you love him, you become heirs of the kingdom. But the condition is loving him. So I think all of this should give you some idea of how much God the Father and Jesus Christ desire for us to love him. Desire for us to love him. A man desires a woman to love him. A woman desires for one man to love her. Take that concept related to God, to Jesus Christ. They want us to love them. That's not much to ask when he gave his life for us, when he gave his all on the cross for us. And all we have to do to respond, power of his Spirit, love him in return. Okay, so just wanted to spend a few moments while we are where we are. This all comes from John 21. Do you love me? Do you agapao me? Do you agape me? And you have to ask yourself, do you love him? In the morning, at noon, in the afternoon, in the evening, do you love him? In the power of his Spirit. Now, in a few moments we have left, let's get back to our regular study, in which we're studying virtue love. Now, we left off last week with studying virtue love. Virtue love is love from man in the flesh. Virtue love is not the spiritual love of the Holy Spirit. Virtue love is man trying to imitate the love of Christ, trying to duplicate it. And you can't do it in the flesh. Nothing you can do in the flesh will duplicate the love of Christ. Nothing. God is not impressed with human love. We like to call it virtue love. Virtue, me. It's about me. People's spiritual love is not about me. Always remember that. Christ's love for us was not about him. He got down on his knees and washed their dirty feet. He got up on a cross and bore our sins. It wasn't about him. It was about our need. And that's what love does. This love sees a need and meets that need. This love is not about me. Spiritual love is not about me. Virtue love is all about me and my virtue. How wonderful I am. How great I am. How lucky you are that I love you. See? But spiritual love depends on the object. It goes out to the object. Now, on the other hand, while man is impressed with virtue love, he's not impressed with God's love. Even at the cross, man hates Jesus Christ. John 15. That's just, it's hard for some of us to imagine in our mind. But you got to know, most of the world hate him. Hate his name. Hate it. His name has been blasphemed for a long time. How many movies do they say, Jesus Christ? I can take almost anything in a movie but that. That just pierces right through me. Now, if they said Muhammad, boy, the Muslims would be an uprise. But don't think anything about saying Jesus. They don't even care. So most of the world doesn't care about Jesus Christ. Therefore, virtue love is man trying to make his love perfect. That's why he calls it virtue love. Trying to make his love perfect. This is why spiritual love is not virtue love. Spiritual love is love that comes from God the Holy Spirit. Borrowed from Coca-Cola, it's the real thing. This love is the real thing. It's the standard that God looks for when he looks for love that comes out from us. This is the love he's looking for. This is why we speak of spiritual love. We measure it by God's love in sending his son. as I have loved you. What is it, what does your spiritual love look like? Look at Jesus Christ. Don't look at yourself. Look at Christ. And then you'll know what your love is supposed to look like. Look at Him. See? And you'll learn about what love is to look like. Most Christians, in their effect, in their effort of spiritual love, concerned about themselves, their own virtue, than they are about the object of their love. When you think of the love of Jesus Christ, always remember, because of our sins, He came and died for us. We're the object of His love. Horrible object, non-meritorious of His love. How could He love me? As the hymn goes, how could He love me? There's no reason, but He does. I forgot which great old timer it was. Maybe Ironside. I don't remember. But he was asked at old age, what's the main thing he's learned from the Bible? And he looked at the students and asked him, and he said, it's very simple. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. That was his response. People, that should be our response. He loves me. How could I not love Him? What is it to sacrifice a Wednesday night, two Sunday mornings, money, time, to pray, the joy of telling someone else of Him, when we think of all that He did for us? It's not a big cost. It's a joy. It's a joy to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. If you love someone, you love telling people about Him. I love telling friends of mine, the pastor's conference coming up in March, other pastors, about my wife. Now, they haven't seen her, so they don't believe me. But I tell them how wonderful she is. And it just, when you love someone, this is what you do. If you really love the Lord, it's no chore. Let me tell you about the Lord. Let me tell you about what He's done and what He does for me. So this is the whole issue of spiritual love. It's more concerned with the object than it is with self. Whereas virtue love is more concerned with self. The thing about spiritual love, love does not seek its own. 1 Corinthians 13:5, we'll look at it later. Love does not seek its own. You'll never hear out of love, after all I've done for you, after how much I love you, how could you do this with how much I love you? See? Love doesn't seek its own. Love seeks the fulfillment and the enrichment of the person, of the object of the love. When out of love, God became man, He was not concerned about His own deity. He did not think deity was something to hold on to, as Satan would. Satan grasped for that. Jesus Christ had it. He didn't think it was something to hold on to and let the world of sinners go into the lake of fire forever. He let it go. He let it go. This is the picture of the washing of the feet. He took off His outer garment. That's a picture of laying aside His deity and got down on His knees and washed their feet. This is what love does. How can we not respond to such love? When out of His love, He took our place on the cross and came identified with our sins. You know, we all have sins we're not proud of. Yeah, we all get mad when somebody cuts in front of us. Big deal. We don't worry about that. We all lose our temper about this something. But we all have some sins. Maybe just mental. That we're just thankful the world doesn't know. He knows. He bore them on a cross. He bore them on the cross. And one thinks of virtue love is always man protecting his own virtue. The love of God, releasing himself and dying on a cross for the benefit of mankind. Love of the flesh, for the flesh, seeks always to promote the flesh, protect the flesh. We're very protective of our love. Not going to love you anymore. Rawr. See? We protect it. It's mine. It's my virtue. But when one loves for the power of the Holy Spirit, self is not the issue. Object is the issue. God loved the world of sinners. He gave His only begotten Son to take our sinful place on the cross. Jesus Christ loved the world. He was judged on the cross for our sins. We're to serve one another in that kind of love. Laying down our lives, if that's what it takes for restoration. Be very careful with that concept. This doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice everything so that somebody else can have something nice. It deals spiritually. It deals with their spiritual life, their spiritual restoration from sin, their spiritual being built back up. Get up and walk in the power of the Spirit. That's what this love is about. These three categories that we've been studying are according to the direction of the love. Where love has a great force in your life, pushing you, pulling you, the force of love. It also has magnitude of human love in either of these directions. Determines it. Push, pull of love in these various directions, always in conflict with the push and pull of God's love for you. If we have love toward the world, love toward things, love toward people, that will distract and maybe even weaken your sensitivity to God's love pulling on you. See? There are three types of human love that we're going to look at. One, called phileo love. Two, called romantic love. And three, for lack of a better word, value love. Now, I want you to note something. There is nothing wrong of these three directions of love. Phileo love, toward family. Romantic love, value love. Nothing wrong with any of these directions. The problem comes when we measure the magnitude. Is your magnitude of love toward phileo, family? Your love toward romantic, your love toward values is so strong, stronger in magnitude than your love for Christ, your love for His Word. Stronger that you do not feel the pull of God's love on you. Let me warn you what happens when you reach that point. Read Romans chapter 1. He just lets you go. Now, Romans chapter 1 deals with the unbeliever. The same principle applies. You just reach that point. He just says, fine, I'll let you go. You think you want phileo? Think you want romantic? You think you want the value love? Go. See how happy you'll be. And it always ends up in disaster. So are they stronger magnitude, more powerful magnitude than your love for Christ? Your love for God. See? Or are they stronger that you're not aware of the love of God? You're not aware of the love of Christ. They have no pull on you whatsoever. That you do not walk by faith in the Spirit any longer. Okay, what I want to do now is I want to look biblically at these three. Phileo love, romantic love, and value love. And so we'll start here next week at 5, so you owe me 5 minutes. But I don't want to just spend a few minutes and then come back and have to repeat that. We'll start here next week, and we will begin by looking at these three categories, directions of human love. Phileo, romantic, and value. What's value love? The love of money. What do we know about that? The love of money, the root of all forms of evil. So we can love things more than we love him. And what does he say about phileo love? If you love your mother, your father, your brother, your sister more than me, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy of me. See? And be able to take some of these things and put it into human terms. Well, honey, we're going to get married. No, your mother and dad and your all these your family doesn't get to come. It's me. No. I got to bring all them along. Well, then I suggest you just stay with them because you don't need me. And that's Christ, people. He has no problem with us loving phileo love, but more than him, forget it. It isn't going to happen. So we'll resume here, and hopefully you can take a look at your love for Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the things we've seen here tonight. Pray that your Spirit will make them become alive in our souls. Make us constantly conscious. Yes, Lord, we love you. And we love you in the power of your Spirit. Guide us. Show us where you want us to go. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.